Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe Hardman, a TV presenter, a radio broadcaster and a mummy to my beautiful 18-month-old daughter Luna.
And I'm Georgia Dayton. I work in marketing for House of Fraser and I am mum to a little cheeky boy, Axel, who's 19 months old.
And together, we are Made by Mamas. So Georgia and I met in a coffee shop whilst we were both pregnant and living in Cheltenham at the time. And suddenly we kind of found ourselves moving from London, leaving all of our mates, knowing absolutely nobody up there and having our babies. And all I can say is thank God that we met that day.
Indeed.
We spent the next year of motherhood drinking coffee, getting back into shape in the gym, or trying to anyway, and getting through the odd bottle of wine as well, and launching our mummy blog, a place for expectant mums, new mummies or seasoned pros to come and find out all the brands that we were loving, products that we can't live without, and also for help, support, love and impartial, non-judgmental advice.
So on this series, we'll be chatting to some of our favourite celebrity females about their experiences from being pregnant to the birth and the aftermath. We'll have a sleep expert give you all her insider tips on a peaceful nighttime, some much needed beauty tips and products for quick fixes for the busy mummy, baby classes and toys worth investing in, how to travel with a little one, you name it, we will cover it.
I think it's time to get into it, shall we, G?
Let's go.
So this week we are talking about well-being. Now, we both had a bit of a rough time with illness, didn't we, with our two little ones at the very beginning. Axel obviously had reflux.
He did, yeah.
And Luna suffered really badly from bronchiolitis and she had seizures as well. So it was a very painful first 4 months.
We had a few doctor's visits between us.
I mean, we're giggling now, but at the time it's absolutely frightening. You know, you give birth to a baby, no one tells you they're going to pick up every single cold under the sun, every single illness, and you're like, what do I do?
No, and also in the lead up to having a baby, you're just thinking about getting past the birth. You don't then think once they're here, you're going to face all of these issues. You just think, oh, it's just going to be fine. We might have to give them cowpole once in a while, but that's it. You don't think that you're not going to know what they've got wrong with them.
Yeah.
And that is the worst thing because they can't tell you what's wrong with them. So they can be screaming and you have no idea what's up.
And also with little babies, their temperatures, you know, they can go from being absolutely fine to completely falling off the cliff. You know, 1 minute their normal temp and the next minute it's 40 and you're thinking, right, this is it. We're going to A&E.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you had a really scary experience with Luna in the first few weeks, didn't you?
Yeah, she had bad bronchiolitis. I mean, I thought it was, I'd been told by the doctor that it was just her lungs and sinuses waking up and I was like, this isn't right. And then obviously the cough developed and she just went downhill and she was in what we were in for 3 nights. She was in one of those little, you know, monitors underneath this sort of tent thing getting oxygen and it was really, really scary.
Yeah, it's scary.
You know, it did take her a long time to kind of be fully recovered from the cough. And then we had a bad episode of seizures as well with her because of temperature rocketing and all that stuff. I mean, yeah, like you said, there was lots of doctor visits.
Yeah, and how did you get the doctor to take you seriously? Because I think a lot of mums say that, you know, they go to the doctor and they think they're definitely going to get prescribed something because there is something clearly wrong, and the doctor just, as you said, says, oh, you know, they're just little, they're just getting used to, you know, life in the world. Well, actually then they get them home and they think, no, I wish I'd stood up for myself a bit more and really pushed that.
I mean, I think the thing is, it's mother's intuition or parental intuition. I think you know when you know that your kid is not well, you keep going back, you hammer down the door until you get the answer.
You do, and I think that comes, you know, a few weeks on, you do get that confidence that you can say to the doctor, do you know what, I know you don't think this is anything, but it really is, because I know my own baby now. You know, he or she's been around for a few weeks, I know that they don't do this, and this needs to be seen too. I think you do need that confidence, don't you, to say. And I think any mums listening really do push and trust your intuition.
Yeah, and luckily today we don't have to hammer down any doctor's surgery doors, because we got TV doctor Dr. Zoe Williams is in the studio with us, and she's going to be discussing all things health and well-being. Should we get into it?
Let's.
So one of the subjects that comes up a lot on our Instagram is wellness and health in babies and mums.
Yeah, I mean, we all panic when our baby gets sick, and also ourselves as well. So,
and also, no one tells you how sick your baby is going to get when you give birth. They say you're going to have a baby, and then you've got to deal with all the illness that they're going to get over the next sort of 6 months. So that's why we're really, really excited to have the absolutely fantastic and brilliant Dr. Zoe Williams, NHS GP and TV doctor, on this morning.
Hi.
In the studio with us today. Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Very good.
I'm so amazed that you are coping so well. Very proud of you, Zelda.
She looks amazing, doesn't she?
2 weeks to drop day. Thanks, ladies. Oh. Inside, I'm dying. Zozo, just tell us a little bit about you, your background and what you do.
How far do you want me to go back?
Not too far, because I know the sordid secrets.
So I'm an NHS GP working in London, and I actually have 9 jobs, I think, at the last count, but luckily some of them are just sort of half a day a week or even less. As you mentioned, I do some TV medic work on ITV This Morning, BBC Two, Trust Me, I'm a Doctor. And I've been doing something exciting with ITV that I can't tell you about, and BBC Two Horizon as well. So that's really fun and exciting. And then I have my more serious hat on certain days, where I work with Public Health England and the Royal College of GPs, doing more sort of educational based stuff, inspiring and educating healthcare professionals to be able to talk about physical activity and lifestyle with their patients.
That's a big thing for you, isn't it? Physical activity. We always have, because you and I are friends, we've known each other for a very long time.
Yep.
We always have conversations about that.
It's the dream, you know. As a medic, I believe that physical activity is the wonder drug. If every single person in this country was active enough for good health, which isn't much, it's 22 minutes of brisk walking a day, then
yeah, we can do that, can't we?
You do that, G.
I do that, yeah. I love a bit of walking. And you know what, when I was pregnant, I was walking about 8 miles up until I was about 36 weeks every single day. People used to think I was a complete nutter. My husband's friends would see me pacing the streets of Cheltenham like, oh my gosh, there's your wife, what's she doing? She's about 10 miles from home, how does she get there?
The reason she did that though is because she thought that would bring on her labour quicker. I'd just like to sort of put that in there.
Yeah, all these myths about things that will bring on your labour quicker. I don't think any of them have actually been proven with science, but you know, we all love a bit of pineapple and curry, don't we?
We do.
Let's talk about wellness during pregnancy. It's very, very hard. I think you can probably hear from my voice that I'm going through it at the moment. I've got a throat infection. I've got this horrible cough. I'm feeling really rubbish because all of my immunity is going to baby. What should I be doing to keep myself well?
Do you know what? It's such an individual thing, isn't it, wellness? What we need to do for ourselves. And I think actually women who are pregnant are generally more motivated to take good care of themselves than they ever have been at any other time. I mean, to see you without a glass of champagne in your hands, though. But I think it varies. And I think you really have to listen to your body when you're pregnant, because your body will tell you. Essentially, you have a baby growing inside you, and that baby, it sounds awful, but it really is a big parasite, and it is draining all of your energy. It's taking all of the goodness, and you have to do what you can to keep yourself fit and healthy. I think often doctors and healthcare professionals, we're very good at telling pregnant women what they shouldn't do. You know, don't eat raw meat, don't do this, don't do that. And I think sometimes, other than folic acid, vitamin D, we're not that good at telling women who are pregnant what they should do. And, you know, making sure that you look after your mental health during pregnancy, making sure you still have a social life and do the things that you enjoy, and obviously making sure that you're very physically active are all really important.
Yeah, we obviously George has only had one pregnancy. And we were super active through the first one. This second one, I've actually struggled to stay active because I've been feeling all these sort of pains. And actually, you're right, I've probably been more poorly this pregnancy than I was in my first one. But at the moment, I'm just, hot lemon and honeys, gargling paracetamol, soluble, all of these things. I mean, that's really what we can do.
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? Because when it comes to medication and pain relief, you're so scared of doing any harm to baby that you're quite limited in what you can take. You can see your doctor, obviously, and we will prescribe other medications. It's all about balancing the risks versus the benefits. And I think the biggest advice when it comes to wellness is listen to your body. So like you were saying, Zoe, in your first pregnancy, you were super active and that was fine. Whereas now you're having aches, you're having pains. Listen to that, you know, don't push through it. If your body's sore, don't do things that are going to make it more sore. Just work within what your body's allowing you to do.
Mm-hmm. You briefly just touched on folic acid and vitamin D. So what else should, you know, we be taking? Not we, because I'm not pregnant, but, you know, as a pregnant person, what should we be taking?
So the only supplements that you absolutely have to take are folic acid and vitamin D.
Why is that though?
Just because the folic acid is mostly important in early pregnancy. It helps with the neural development of the baby. So people are sort of aware of spina bifida, but neural development generally requires folic acid. It may be most of us, if we have a good diet, aren't deficient in it anyway and don't need to take it, but it's just not worth the risk of potentially being deficient. And then vitamin D is really important. We get it from the sun. We live in the UK.
We just don't get enough sun.
Yes, say no more.
so many of us are deficient in vitamin D, particularly if you're somebody who covers up or you have dark skin, then almost inevitably you will be deficient. And again, it's really important for development, for your health and baby's health.
And that's why the midwives always kind of hammer home to us that we need to be taking our Pregnacare Max or our supplements.
Yeah.
And also, and actually, my midwife said this to me the other day, that I need to be taking them during breastfeeding as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So you should continue during breastfeeding. You're just making sure that you're getting the optimal nutrition. And, you know, I know you have a very healthy diet, so you probably don't need it, but it's not going to do any harm. And I think that period of your life when you're pregnant and breastfeeding, you know, you're willing to just go to any length, aren't you, to get the best for yourself and for your baby. And I think, yeah, you mentioned Pregnacare, Pregnacare Max, and all the vitamin supplements that are designed for pregnancy. You know, if you can afford them, you know you can't go wrong. You know you're going to get the right stuff and you're not going to get anything harmful, because there are some vitamins that you shouldn't take supplements of in pregnancy, such as vitamin A. Too much vitamin A can be harmful for baby.
Right, yeah, okay. I heard that. And why is that, Zoe?
It can cause what we call, what's the term now, polydactyly. Right. So additional fingers and additional toes.
Right.
Amongst other things. But that's the thing that kind of swings back to my mind from medical school, that too much vitamin A can cause polydactyly. And that's why you shouldn't eat liver, because there's a lot of vitamin A.
Yes. I was going to say, is it in any food? So just liver, it's in liver.
So then
liver,
there's pate. And offal. Pate off the menu.
That is pate off the menu. Unless you have a mushroom pate. Very good, I believe.
So what other foods should pregnant people be avoiding?
So there's this concern about mercury as well. So yeah. Mercury, you know, unfortunately, unless you're getting your own fish in your local river, then a lot of the fish that are caught out in the ocean are quite high levels of mercury. So it's important to have fish, to have oily fish, but tinned fish in particular, and certain fish such as swordfish, tuna, and what's the other one that's a bit like those two?
There's something similar.
Shark. Maybe high in mercury that can cause damage to baby. Any foods that aren't fully cooked through, so you should have your steak well done.
That was a killer for me.
Because you love a rare steak, don't you, G?
I just don't see the point in eating it. It's like eating cardboard if you have it well done.
Oh, I'll take steak any which way, but I'd rather have it medium rare. And then certain cheeses, unpasteurised cheeses. And really, all those foods, it's not because the food itself is harmful in pregnancy. It's just because there's a slightly higher risk that food's going to be contaminated, because it hasn't been cooked or pasteurised, if there are any bacteria living in there, and you just can't afford to risk having a bacterial gastroenteritis whilst you're pregnant. Although, say that to our friends over the sea in France. I think most French women will be sat down eating their brie and camembert,
yeah,
having a glass of red wine.
And so obviously sushi's off the menu then, is it?
Just about to say that, because it's my favourite food. And there are definitely certain sushis which I now, you know, certain bits of sushi that I just walk away from now.
Do you know what? It's all about assessing risk. And there will be some women out there who are pregnant who are not going to give up their sushi. And it's just about assessing that risk. If you're going to Nobu and you're having a bit of raw tuna, the chances you're going to get an infection from that are pretty slim. Mm-hmm. Equally, if you're having sushi and you're having, you know, the cooked tuna or the ones with avocado, the ones that don't have raw fish in them.
Yeah.
So you go into Boots and get in the sort of other end of the scale, you'd be all right as well. But if you're having any food that is not fully cooked or pasteurised, then there is an increased risk of infection. And that's the reason why.
Okay. So you need to go for a snazzy Japanese then.
If you're going to go for sushi, go for the best.
Doctor's orders.
So then we deliver baby, you know, overwhelming, amazing moment of having this baby in your arms.
Not
and then,
for everyone, Zoe.
Not for everybody, but, you know, in an ideal scenario, that's what happens. No, absolutely not. And I know lots of people that didn't get that overwhelming kind of rush of love. But you have your baby and then you spend the next few weeks kind of getting your head around it. And then baby gets sick.
Yes.
It's a nightmare when that happens.
Scary.
Because nobody tells you how frightening it is when your baby gets ill.
Do you know what? And I have to, at this point, say that I'm not a mother. I've never been pregnant. I don't have any children. So there are certain parts of this conversation that you girls know so much more about than me. But I think as a GP, I do have sort of almost a pair of glasses on where I do get to really see into people's lives when they share things with me. I can only imagine you're fully responsible for this little human being that you feel this overwhelming love for that you never even knew you could feel. Then all of a sudden that child is suffering and you must freak out. It must be awful.
Yeah, of course you do. I think I went to the doctor where we lived in Cheltenham about 6 times in the first few weeks because I just couldn't ask enough and I didn't have any experience. Yep. And you do, like every little niggle, you're like, oh, this might be this, or you Google. That's obviously a bad thing to do.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'll let you into a secret, and if there are any of my patients listening, then they'll be thinking, oh, that's why she did that. When, you know, I see young mums very frequently in my clinic, particularly if it's first baby, and it is just all those little complaints. And I think if you're a first-time mum and you're worried and you're not sure, just go to the GP and get it checked out. Coughs and colds, we see them all day long. Mm. And I had a baby yesterday, 18 weeks. Oh, so cute.
Aww.
So my little thing that I do is as soon as mum comes through the door, unless baby's asleep, I'll say, oh, do you mind if I hold baby? Because I'll start assessing the baby from that moment, just how they feel, if they feel floppy, how they're engaging with me. So you are starting to pick up things just from holding them. Plus, it almost also means that for those 5 minutes we're having a chat, when inevitably, you know, my job is to just give reassurance, I get some baby cuddles.
Ah, you want those baby cuddles. That's what it's all about. Bronchiolitis is something that comes up a lot with us. I'm not sure about Axel. Has he ever had it?
No, he hasn't. But okay. I know obviously Luna had it quite badly.
Yeah, Luna was in hospital with it at 7 weeks old. Yeah. She spent 3 nights in there. She was under a little incubator. It was terrifying. I mean, really, really frightening. And I know a lot of our followers on Instagram have been through that. So bronchiolitis, it seems like you can't avoid it as a baby.
Well,
what is it exactly?
It's a virus. It's caused by a virus. It's caused by a virus that in you or I might cause just the common cold. It's called respiratory syncytial virus. And 1 in 3 babies get it.
Yeah, so it's really common. Mm.
So it is really common. And most babies that get it will be fine with it. And the reason it affects babies differently is that the way that I don't want to go into an anatomy lesson about the lungs, but you've got two lungs, you've got the big tube that goes into each lung, and then they split off into small tubes called bronchioles. So they're the tiny little airways. And in babies, the virus affects those airways. Mm-hmm. So it makes it really difficult for them to get the gases across the lungs because there's fluid in there. So in you or I, we would handle it quite well and we just have a cold. But in a small baby, it can make them really unwell. But like I say, most babies will cope with it fine. Bit of a fever, cough, runny nose, general cold symptoms. But what I always say to mums say, you know, at what point should I bring the baby to yes. see you? At what point do I go to A&E? And if a young baby has a fever, we want to see them. If in any way you think that they're struggling with their breathing, we want to see them. But as much as anything, a mum's intuition or a dad's intuition is usually on point. And if you just have the slightest concern, you're worried, and you have a baby that's under 12 months old, no doctor is ever going to be annoyed with you.
Yeah, well, that's good. Over. That is good to hear, because I think a lot of people are scared. They don't want to waste the doctor's time, like bringing their child in with a cough or a cold. But I guess, you know, we do know as mums when we need to seek some, you know, medical advice rather than just trying to cope with it at home.
Yeah, you do. I think you just know as a mum, don't you? You have that intuition. You think, she's just not herself. He's just not himself. Yeah. I'm not happy.
Or I think when you can't get the fever down, you know, with Calpol, and if you're doing Calpol, Brufen, and that's not having any effect. You know, for me, it was Luna being so limp. She just suddenly was going limp, and she was vomiting, and she was choking on her phlegm. And, you know, it's an awful thing to say, but I was just like, I thought she was going to die. It was the scariest moment, hands down the scariest moment of my life. And we, you know, we went straight into the hospital and they took us straight in. And it was the best thing that we could have done, because she was fine. And the minute they start going downhill, you rock bottom, they then straight back up, don't they bounce back quickly. But
that's the thing with small babies, they can deteriorate so quickly. So, you know, you did absolutely the right thing, because you acted on your intuition. And that's what I mean. I think that's the drive home point, is that if you have a young baby, no doctor is ever going to be annoyed and think that actually you're wasting our time. If you're genuinely concerned, then that is reason enough to get them checked out.
Now, another one that comes up on our Instagram quite a lot is colic. So we don't really know what colic is, I guess. Like, Zoe and I don't really know. We've heard it's just babies crying, and is that just what it is? And is there any reason for it, or, you know, what should we be doing about it?
Do you know what? It's a really good question. And it's a tricky one, colic, because it is one of these, the baby's not in any harm. We're not worried. We're not concerned. But obviously the baby's in discomfort, and more and more babies are now getting diagnosed with things like reflux and intolerances. And I think a lot of the time it is just colic, and it's one of those awful conditions that you kind of can't do that much about except just comfort your baby.
It's a tricky
one of the
one,
ones
isn't it?
I struggle with, actually, when patients come in and see me, because I think usually what I will say is, you are doing all the right things. Baby's gaining weight, baby's taking feeds, baby's got this colic, you're not sleeping, they're not sleeping, everyone's a bit miserable, but
you'll get through it.
You'll get through it. There is light at the end of the tunnel. It will not last forever.
We used to have 1 hour every night where Axel would cry solidly for that hour for a few weeks. It was like 5 till 6, and we used to call it the witching hour.
We used to
be like, it's coming, and then we used to like sing and dance around the room and everything just to, you know, let it go by, and then it was all fine. But it's a weird one.
Yeah, and we still don't really know.
Do you find that as parents, when your child's sick or uncomfortable, you will do anything to
help
songs
them. the songs that we make up songs that I've got up my sleeve, that there was a young girl named Luna Finnegan, and then I'm like dancing around the room to this like made up Irish tune that I've never heard before. Let's talk about breastfeeding. I want to talk about the benefits of breastfeeding. And then I would like to touch on, you know, if you choose not to breastfeed, is that okay too?
Yeah, of course. You know, Of course, the benefits of breastfeeding are huge, both for mum and for baby. But, and I'm going to say this before going further, it's not for everyone. And sometimes it's not possible for everyone, even with the best intentions. Some mums just can't make it work. And I think it really depends. It's such a cultural thing, breastfeeding. It depends where you're from, where you grew up, and where you live now, how likely you are to do it, and also how successful you will be. And I remember when I did my 6 months of obs and gynae, and I loved working on the postnatal ward because I got lots of baby cuddles. But one thing that I always remember is the breastfeeding lady who used to come round and help everybody and support everyone. She'd look at the names on the board and she'd list all the African names, and she would ask, is this woman first generation, second generation? And basically, if that woman had been born and grown up in Africa and moved over here. She crossed them off the list.
Wow.
She didn't need to go and see them. Which amazed me.
Because culturally, they know exactly what to do.
They just know what they're doing because they've grown up in communities where they've sat with the women and they've observed breastfeeding. So it's just natural. They just know, instinctive, they just know what to do. And obviously, there are always the exceptions to the rule. But generally, those women just, yeah, just did it. Which to somebody who has struggled and struggled and struggled and gone through pain and cracked nipples and all the rest of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It must sound like an absolute punch in the face. But, I think it's so cultural, breastfeeding. And I think we're at a tipping point, particularly in London, particularly among the more affluent women, where we're seeing some women who are so persistent and so motivated to breastfeed that it gets to the point where it's not working. And they're reluctant to give the baby a bottle. And I've actually seen it with one of my friends where the baby was getting dehydrated. Neither baby or mum had slept for more than 30 minutes continuously for several days because baby was hungry. And, you know, actually, if it's not working, there are other things that are more important. You know, you bonding with your baby getting the nutrition, getting the sleep. Those things are all important as well. So it's a great thing to try and do. And I would encourage every woman to try and do it. But if it's just not right for you, then it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, so just give it a go, I guess.
I really wish that somebody had come into my room in the hospital and says, or come onto the ward and said, you know, if it doesn't work for you, that's absolutely fine. I didn't get that. I got, breast is best. You must breastfeed. You must keep going at it and just keep on going. And I remember that one particular midwife coming around and my nipples were bleeding, cracked. They were pussy. And she was like, just go through the pain. After the first 5 minutes of it, it'll just ease out. And it was like 40 minutes every single time I fed.
Wow.
40 minutes of excruciating agony.
It's so interesting because we literally lived two streets away from each other and we gave birth in the same hospital, but I had a completely different experience. I was getting on okay with it for the first couple of days, and then I reckon after about 2 to 3 weeks, then the pain, you know, got really bad. And they were really good. They just said, oh, well, why don't you do a bit of both, you know, introduce some formula. So I did. And then eventually when I just stopped altogether, there really wasn't any judgment. But also, I don't know if it's because my mum was there, like, she doesn't need to. She's fine. Georgia, you don't need to. You don't need to breastfeed. Don't worry about it. Sometimes it's your family as well and the pressure and, you know, your partner and anyone around you.
But I think, I can't sing the praises enough of breastfeeding. It is by far the best thing to do to protect your child from infections, from obesity at a later age, and also the best thing you can do for yourself. But if you can't, you've got to, you know, at the end of the day, if it's making your life an absolute misery. But sometimes, you know, I guess the same, this might be true for you, Zoe. Are you grateful you did push through that pain barrier because in the end it worked out?
Am I grateful? I'm just glad that I could do what I could do.
Yeah.
There wasn't any particular time limit that I had in my head. I just thought, I'll know when I want to stop. I'll know when I'll need to stop. And that was when Luna wanted more milk and I could only produce 1 ounce from one and 4 ounces from the other. And she was drinking sort of 8.
Yeah.
And that was it. That was it. I just was just, you know, it was a sad. I remember crying, thinking, right, you know, because it is a bit of a bereavement. You have to go, right, that's it. I'm giving that up and I'm finishing that. But I'm super proud of what my body did. And I kept my baby alive for 12 weeks.
Yeah, it's so incredible.
Which is amazing, isn't it? What you need to do.
Amazing. Yeah. And the most important bit is the colostrum. So the first breast milk, that's really important. And then if you can do it for the first few weeks, brilliant. If you can do it for the first few months, fantastic. If you can do it up to 6 months, well, do you know what? You deserve a medal. But it is actually recommended to breastfeed, obviously start weaning at 6 months, but to breastfeed up to 2 years and beyond if you want to. But there are benefits for both mum and baby. Up to 2 years, but I think very few women achieve that, but that's the recommendation.
Just one last question, because a lot of our weirdly because it makes total sense, getting pregnant as soon as you have the baby.
Yeah.
We're hearing more and more stories about people saying, I've just had the baby, didn't think that I was exclusively breastfeeding, didn't think, and then boom, I'm pregnant, can't lose the baby weight. Well, there's a baby in there.
Yeah.
How fertile are we after giving birth?
It can happen. If you're exclusively breastfeeding and your periods haven't started again, it's unlikely, but it still can happen. So I think 3 weeks, as soon as 3 weeks after giving birth.
Oh, wow.
I mean, who's having sex 3 weeks after giving birth?
Not me.
No, definitely not.
But it can happen. So, you know, my advice on that is if you are certain that you don't want another baby straight away, get some contraception sorted as soon as possible.
You heard it there.
And speaking about contraception, there is a new form of contraception that is on your iPhone. It's an algorithm. It's called Natural Cycles.
I've heard about this.
Yeah, I've just been making a documentary for Horizon on contraception about the pill. And, you know, the pill is amazing. When you go back to the 50s when it was first introduced, what an incredible thing. You take a little tablet every day and you don't get pregnant, but it doesn't suit everybody, side effects, and some women don't want to take it anymore, and of course there are loads of other options. But yeah, this algorithm, Natural Cycles, it's on your phone, you have a thermometer and it's got to go to two decimal places, so it's a special thermometer. You take your temperature every morning when you first wake up, and it's actually, as long as you use it perfectly, it's as good at the contraceptive pill at preventing pregnancy.
Wow. What's it called?
Natural Cycles.
And so you're not taking anything. It's just completely completely natural.
Completely natural. So it tells you which days you have to use condoms on certain days. So there'll be maybe 5 days a month that it tells you have to use another form of contraception, a barrier method. But otherwise, it's free. You're safe to.
And so they're the days that you can get pregnant on. So if you did want to get pregnant, you can use it.
Well, you can use it for that as well. So you can change the settings of the app, and you can use it to increase your chances of getting pregnant, if that's what you want as well. So
we were doing this is I'm revealing this for the first time. We were doing the natural cycle thing, and I knew exactly where my ovulation days were, because obviously the first time around I was, you know, we were working really hard to get pregnant, and I knew, because I was peeing on sticks and doing all that stuff, so I knew that my two fertile days were these two, and we were just having sex freely around that. And then I got married in Ibiza in July, and all form of natural cycles went out the window, and it was like, let's just do it every day, and that's why I'm pregnant, here we go. So it does work.
So the rhythm method does work, but I think when you're without this algorithm, just using the rhythm method as you were, the scope for human error is so high, because you have to do all different types of charting and what have you if you do it properly. So it's quite exciting, I think, that this is just where we're going with looking at the future of contraception. Male contraception, we talked about.
That'd be interesting.
Would you trust your man?
Because my husband takes 12 supplements every day and he never forgets.
Right.
So, you know, 13 would be fine. But I know he is an exception.
Your husband really wants to have another baby and you're not so keen. So whether I would trust him or not, Zoe, is an absolute joy to get you on the podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. I loved it.
I could chat to you all day.
Oh, thanks, Zoe.
Thank you.
So that was a great chat with Zoe.
Yeah, she's amazing, isn't she?
I wish she was my GP.
Yeah, me too.
So as always, let's talk about our 5 favourite products. My first one is the Cowpol plug-in. I will tell anyone that will listen how good this is. I don't go anywhere without it.
So this is just something that you pop into the wall if Axel's got a cough or a cold.
Yeah, and it just helps them breathe. You go in their nursery the next morning, it absolutely stinks.
It's a nice smell.
Yeah, but no wonder they can breathe, because it is really, really good. Just cover up the nightlife with some sellotape or whatever it is.
Blackout tape. Yeah, exactly. So I really want to talk about first aid courses, because I think it's absolutely key to do one. You know, I've spoken about it. It was such a lucky experience with doing a first aid course, and then obviously going for a seizure. So any parents sitting there thinking, oh look, I don't know what I'd do if my child started choking or if it started having a fit, you have got to do one of these courses.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, they're all over the UK. You can even get private ones, you know, they'll come to your house and do it there. So yeah, well worth doing.
Daisy First Aid.
Yeah, they're the ones that we used.
Yeah, to check out. Ambisol teething. Teething is a nightmare, and Ambisol seems to be, for me, I don't know about you, the only thing that works. It stinks, like it must be like pure alcohol or something, but it really works. It numbs their gums. Yeah,
you basically just put a bit on your finger and then you rub it around the gum. And, you know, we've both used Bonjela on both of our kids. Doesn't touch the sides.
No.
Ambisol's amazing. And also, put a bit on their gum, a little bit on yours. If it's got alcohol in it, come on.
Drink the bottle.
So, an in-ear thermometer, also just an essential piece of kit to have at home. Really, really quick. You know, what you don't want to be doing is shoving one of those ones that goes under the armpit and your baby's wriggling around.
Work.
It doesn't work properly. So, in the ear, we've got the Tommy Tippy one at home and it's brilliant.
I'm off to buy one of those because I haven't got got one, and yeah. I really wish I'd bought one earlier, actually.
Worth the investment.
Yeah. And finally, as kids always have coughs, colds, snuffles, you absolutely need a saline spray. I mean, you know a really good one, don't you?
Yeah, we've tried every single one on the market for Luna, but Sterimar do this really amazing new baby one, and it's just fantastic because it works at any angle. So you can have baby lying on their back and you can still use it, because it's a horrible thing to do, to actually have to put something up the nose and spray. They hate it, but really good to decongest them. So that is it for us from this week. Thank you so much for listening. If you did like what you heard today, remember you can rate, review and subscribe to the podcast. You can also follow us at Made by Mamas on Instagram, and mine at Zoe Hardman. And yeah, we've really enjoyed it this week.
It's been great. And as always, all of the products will be listed on our website. See you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.